Hey, it's Mike Matthews, the host of the longest running self-produced daily podcast on planet Earth that's done by a guy named Mike at Cafe Anyway in Podcaster Valley. It is Mike's Daily Podcast, and it's FF episode 3030 C3PO. No. Anthony Daniels, no. But oh, speaking of computers and robots and robots and everything else, Windows XP. I predict a little bit later in the podcast, I forget what Windows XP was called, but it was called Windows XP. Remember that version of the Microsoft Windows operating system for personal computers, the XP standing for experience. I never knew that. Microsoft released Windows XP back in 2001. I guess we called that 2001 back in the day because of that movie, the Space Odyssey one. I'm sorry, Dave, I can't do that for you. XP replaced Windows 2000 and the Windows ME, or ME, which helped bring the versions of Windows altogether, the NT and 9X versions. I don't know what those were. I was really handling computers in the XP phase. Everything else. Remember the monitors, how big they were? Yikes. It was replaced then by Windows Vista. Windows XP was. So they were just going with these names in 2006, which we were calling 2006 back then. Windows XP was the second most used computer operating system in the world as late as 2012. And as you know, soon we will have the Windows 11 taking over Windows 10. They'll stop updating. They'll stop doing anything with it. And we'll all have to move over to Windows 11. Thank you, Microsoft. Unless we're on Apple. When that happens, if that's what's happening, then you're just laughing at me talking about all this Microsoft stuff. But Microsoft stopped supporting Windows XP as recent as 2014. But they did do some security updates in 2019 to address ransomware threats and to address major malware threats. And Microsoft and authorities warn users against using Windows XP in general. But it has remained a popular operating system around the world for a long time. And there you go. You know what else has made the world so happy? Is the place known as Cafe Anyway that you can only get to on this podcast. And the only way to get to it is by me opening the door for you. You're welcome. Here we go. And please, after you.
Cafe Anyway. Welcome to Cafe Anyway.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
Episode 3030. That's awesome.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
I would say that's the only time that's going to ever happen, but then we're going to do 3131, hopefully, and that will change all that. And I'm singing to you, and I'm dancing around. I'm trying to walk so I don't get fat. But I guess I'm a little overweight. I could get rid of some of this someday, but I'm a little late with my lyrics here.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
I guess I would say something about lifting weights, which I'll do
Mike's
once in a great while.
Daily.
But what I found
podcast
is that if I would just get myself to, if I push myself in such a way where I put roadblocks in my way that cause me to walk more. In other words, I take BART, but in order to take BART, I got to walk from the BART station to my house and walk from the BART station to work, etc. It helps me with doing things. Just if we force ourselves into the workout, that works. I guess some people, they buy themselves a gym membership. And they go, ooh, all this money is getting pulled out of my bank account every month. I better go. That kind of thing. I don't know. That wouldn't work for me, but let's talk about Bitcoin for a second. As of this recording, it dropped quite a bit. Stock market has not been doing well lately. But a man lost $780 million in Bitcoin in a Welsh landfill, and he wants to buy the entire dump, before the city closes the site. So back in 2013, James Howells mistakenly disposed of a laptop hard drive containing the private key for 8,000 bitcoins. I guess that's it. The plural of Bitcoin is Bitcoin, but I'm going to say bitcoins, in a landfill in Newport, Wales.
And here's today's podcast picture.
The Doxway landfill, which is not the podcast picture is not of that. Actually, it's going to be of some beautiful what? I guess something. I want to do another Texas picture. Why not? See that at mikesdailypodcast.com. Although we had a very nice sunset tonight in Podcaster Valley, which is where we're broadcasting from. Cafe Anyway, the last place on earth in the land of Ameritopica. So in 2013, James Howells mistakenly disposed of a laptop hard drive that contained the private key for 8,000 Bitcoin. The late great Basil the Boxer did not own any Bitcoin. And I think he would be very glad that he didn't have any in this particular circumstance. By the way, I've been running into a lot of people lately around the area, older men like myself, that recently have lost pets. I talked to two guys today, maybe a little bit older than me, who they both lost dogs that they were very close to. And I have to tell you, when I lost Basil, there was a dearth of sympathy. Very few people that I talked to were, yeah, you know, you lose a dog, they were all like, get another one, just get another dog. And these guys, you could tell, that I talked to today, they really felt the weight of losing a pet. They were really close to these dogs.
Life grand.
And life is grand, so you should appreciate it. You should appreciate it and appreciate those pets while you have them. It's not as easy as just get another dog, because you're never going to get the same dog. Yes, a lot of dogs, a lot of breeds act the same way, but there's a peculiarity that's particular to that particular dog or cat that one should really appreciate. But back to this Bitcoin situation. So James Howells subsequently assembled a team of specialists and secured funding to excavate the site. But Newport City Council refused him permission, citing the cost and environmental impact of the search. If the coins are discovered, Howells proposes distributing 30% of the proceeds amongst the council and the population of Newport. As of February of this year, the missing Bitcoin was worth, remember, it was 8,000 Bitcoin. It is now worth $751 million. In December of last year, James Howells,
what's the cliche of the week?
I would say Bitcoin is the cliche.
What's the cliche of the week?
Or crying about the stock market.
What's the cliche of the
week? We're hearing that over and over again in the news.
What's the cliche of the week?
And then, like, the stock market took a big drop a couple weeks ago with the whole DeepSeek AI that was allegedly this AI in China that you could do everything that American AI like ChatGPT can do, but for less expensive. Less expensive chips behind it, which made the AI chip manufacturers, all their stocks drop. But then some people, hey, they picked up the stock and it started to go back up again. But then everything's dropped recently as of this recording. So it's just the stock market is a thing. In the long run, it tends to go up, all the experts say. So to worry and go, oh my gosh, it's going down and it'll go into the ground and fall in a hole and get sucked into the middle of the earth, is just fatalistic and doom scrolling and alarmist. But James Howells sued the council for £495 million, with the council contesting that the device is now in its property. This device that has Bitcoin that is worth $751 million. The attempted recovery of the missing Bitcoin has been likened to a digital treasure hunt. James Howells and his team are confident that the retrieval of the data remains possible, while the council continues to profess its skepticism. Following a hearing, the High Court dismissed Howell's claim in January of this year, ruling that it had no prospect of success. Bitcoin, the first decentralized cryptocurrency, first was announced to the world in October of 2008 with the white paper by Satoshi Nakamoto called Bitcoin, a peer-to-peer electronic cash system. As we go outside a cafe anyway, we're bringing Mike's Daily Podcast somewhere in Podcastro Valley in the land of Emeritophica. The implementation of the protocol as a peer-to-peer network then happened in the next year, January of 2009.
Mike's scavenger hunt.
I'm looking through this story here. Bitcoin, this white paper was announced in October, so a few months later, there was the peer-to-peer network protocol, and that was launched. It is a significant digital currency that uses cryptography to verify blockchain transactions and record them in a public ledger. And that's about all I know, because I pulled that from Wikipedia. James Howells, a Welsh computer engineer from Newport, was influenced at a young age by his mother, who was involved in the production of microchips. So by his teens, he was a regular user of the internet, and he began building computers at the age of 13. Wow. And then he was a Napster user. That was around the time the Bitcoin inception was happening in 2008. He was a Napster user. Remember people using Napster back then and getting all the free music?
For your entertainment.
I just thought that was amazing.
The one.
I wasn't doing it.
The only. Mike Matthews.
People were going to jail. People were getting fined big chunks of money for that. Oh, yeah. I'm Mike. Hi. Thank you for that announcement. James Howells taught himself about Bitcoin in December of 2008. So early on. Because just a few months earlier was when that white paper came out with the first birth of Bitcoin by Satoshi Nakamoto. And he began studying the concept after the 2008 bank bailout. Remember that? When everything was crashing and the economic downturn that everybody's worried about happening again. Well, they're always worried about it happening again. And every couple of years they go crazy. But Howells considered flat currency a scam, favoring the vision of Bitcoin. He became an early adopter of the technology by 2009 and by 2013.
Yo, the mic tip.
This was his tip. He was living in Newport with his three children and then partner Hafina Eddie Evans, and the two later broke up, with Eddie Evans leaving with the children. Oh, wow. So in 2021... less than 10 years later, he worked from home maintaining emergency response systems in Wales. And then a year later, he described himself as a cryptocurrency and blockchain project manager. But he started mining Bitcoin all the way back in 2009. So within a few months of it being born. And he was using a Dell laptop running on what they call the Dell XPS. So was that working on the Microsoft, Microsoft EXP, XPT, whatever the thing was before all the Windows 7 and 8 and all that.
Wow, shuts, wow.
Which caused his device started to overheat. Wow, shuts, wow. As my mom would say when I would tell her something surprising, she'd go, wow, shuts, wow. So... He was mining about 400 to 800 Bitcoin intermittently overnight for 2 months, and that caused his device to overheat. Howells later damaged the device and dismantled it for parts, selling some to eBay, on eBay. But the laptop containing 32 kilobytes worth of Bitcoin private keys was also used for gaming, and it held music as well as emails and family photographs. Then he was one of only five miners at the time in the early days of Bitcoin. So, and now there's what? How much money is going on? So that's why he wants that. And it goes on there on the Wikipedia. So it just fascinates me.
The news
newsbleed section.
In this newsbleed section that there are, that this is such a big chunk and, you know, our president is all into it and it's befuddling. So Shopify has shut down Yeezy.com for selling a t-shirt with a swastika on it. Shopify kept Yeezy's online store open for orders through, let's see, it was last month sometime, drawing widespread online condemnation. Shopify and Yeezy.com no longer. And California's insurer for people without private coverage needs $1 billion more for LA fire claims. All insurers doing business in California will have to bear half the cost and will pass on the rest to all policyholders in the form of a one-time fee. Ugh. Yikes. Welcome to California. Outside a cafe anyway, somewhere in Podcaster Valley, look who's here.
Hello, my gosh, it's Matt. Ooh, the big old daughter. That stuff about the coins was very interesting. Ooh.
Yeah, the guy...
Wine.
Well, I like
the whiny white man wineless.
Well, we don't. I don't know if he's white, but okay. But you know, people are whining about the Bitcoin going down. So I don't know if that's an intro that works there. Whoever played that? Who keeps playing that? I demand to know who it is. Do you remember that Donald Duck? Or is Daffy Duck? Was Daffy? Yeah, the Looney Tunes, and the artist keeps drawing him in different things. Like at one point, he's like a flower, but a platypus, and I don't know what, with a flag, an American flag or something on his tail. Do you remember all that happening? And then he gets so upset, and he's demanding to know who the artist is that's drawing him like that, and it turns out to be Bugs Bunny. All right. You know, you brought you back to your childhood, I guess.
So, this nightmare of a show.
Yeah. It was fun, though, that show, Looney Tunes. It was a hoot. But I guess that people will whine about all types of things, like about having to go back to work, as Gavin Newsom has demanded, return to office, orders California state workers back 4 days a week. Governor Gavin Newsom signed an exclusive order mandating that all state agencies and departments that continue to offer remote work require a minimum of 4 days in person. This will begin on July 1st. Exceptions
may... First of all, I just want to just thank everyone for joining us here on this show. This is great.
It is great. Thank you. Exceptions may be offered on a case-by-case basis, according to the Times of San Diego. In-person work makes us all stronger, said Gavin Newsom, who has also upset people lately with taking a stand on the transgender sports topic. When we work together, collaboration improves, innovation thrives, and accountability increases, he says. That means better service, better solutions, better results for Californians while still allowing flexibility. The order is likely to inflame tensions between the governor and labor unions representing public employees, which have fought back against previous efforts to limit telework for the state workforce. About 95,000 employees continue to work remotely or in a hybrid capacity. Newsom already called workers back to the office at least 2 days a week back in April of last year, citing enhanced efficiency, mentorship, and supervision from in-person work. Now, I would tell you that I love the fact that it helps me do my job better when I go into the office. Because there are people that, unless I see them face to face, so much gets lost in email, so much gets lost on Zoom, so much gets lost in texting or phone calls. The face to face, that is the only way with things. And you know, if you, okay, maybe, I mean, he's saying 4 days a week, that's nothing. I just don't get it. But there are people that just scream and yell and whine about not being able to just stay at home and be in pajamas and not shower and stink up the place. And then I guess to pick up the kids from school, etc., and all that stuff. So, but hey, at least I didn't bury Bitcoin in a disposal site somewhere. Yeah, he wants to find it, this guy, this Howell guy. Wow. Howell believes that the chances of retrieving the device increased as the value increased. In 2022, he estimated that there was a 80 to 90% chance that the Bitcoin could be recovered if the hard drive was found and the platter was still intact. At the same time, he acknowledged that the device was a needle in a haystack and that the investment from venture capitalists was just extremely high risk. And then it was last year that his legal team stated in court that the metaphorical haystack was theoretically much, much smaller due to the considerable expertise involved in planning its excavation. Have you ever done an excavation, Man Ruta Vega?
Yes.
You ever been to a landfill?
Yes.
Do you know what a Bitcoin is?
No.
Yeah, me neither. Even after all that, I don't get it. Look who else is here.
Hello, dear Mike. This is Valentino the Bergen.
And this is Bison Bentley. Do you know that?
Mike, you know what we'd like to tell you today is with all these facts you give us, it's fascinating stuff. And we learn things and then we forget them. D.
Yeah, forget. Do you know that?
You know those teaching moments? Those are incredible. They're magical. A teaching moment. So that's when you take something that's actually happening in real life and you take it and use it to make it a teaching moment to someone that you're trying to teach. And it's like a window is opened up in the brain that allows you to pour in the knowledge. There've been so many times that I've been taught during a teaching moment that it's still trapped in my brain cells. This is what I've discovered. Perhaps I'm wrong. Perhaps the teaching moment is just an annoying thing that doesn't really happen ever. What do you think about all that? Here's the phone number.
Call Mike at the Cafe Anyway hotline. Area code 510-228-4640.
Will you shut up? Liberty Nation Freedom Foam for All.
And with all things having to do with Mike's Daily Podcast, we go to the mainframe and hear from A-Frame. Thank you so much for listening. Please learn something new today, at least one thing. Your life will be so much better because of it and enriched and all of that.
Mike's Daily Podcast is written and produced and performed by Mike Matthews. His podcast is super easy to find. Download or listen to his show and read his blog at mikesdailypodcast.com.
Email Mike now at mikesdailypodcast@gmail.com.
See you tomorrow. Bye.